Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com. I'm Pastor Greg, and I welcome you as we continue our verse-by-verse study of the Gospel of Luke, as Jesus continues to confront the Pharisees with their hypocrisy as they add to and take away from the Word of God in order to teach their own opinions and traditions. This important study is in two parts, and you can find the conclusion by visiting our website, bbfohio.com, and look at the Recent Studies playlist, and you will also find our contact and donation information there, again, at that website, bbfohio.com. As we now get into our current events update, and then our study titled, Pharisees, the Law, and Divorce, Luke chapter 16, verses 17 and 18, this is part one of two. Current events update. Number one, the Biden administration is filling government appointee posts with the most vile human beings possible. Amen. There's the latest. Department of Energy, I'm just going to tell you, this is the news. I apologize for the fact that this administration is so wicked that it's disgusting to even talk about it. But he brags about being involved in puppy play, gimp kink. It's all out there in public. He's an activist and so forth. So you can look up this information. The purpose of Current Events Updates is just to let you know what's going on, that we'll not delve any further into this, but to quote the Apostle Paul, "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature." And Paul's divinely inspired message to Biden and his administration is found in Romans 1:32, "Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death," doesn't mean we go out and kill them, it's saying that they're worthy of death, "not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." So, what you need to know is that this administration is utterly sodomite. And they're packing the positions in government with people given over to a reprobate mind. And then they're running your government. And so if you wonder why things are such a mess, you don't need to wonder. That's why. Number two, evidence for the Bible continues to pile up. This just came out, I think it's a couple weeks ago that I saw it. Rare evidence for Roman crucifixion found in 2nd century Britain. You realize some time ago in the big schools and things, they taught that there was really no evidence of even being crucifixions. What? Because there were writings that referred to it, but they hadn't found much evidence. You're thinking, well, what kind of evidence are you going to find of a crucifixion? It's a body which decays. And you know they didn't leave the crosses up for memorials, and even they did, there would. So they'd deteriorate. But God has seen fit to preserve some evidence so that you know your Bible is true. And anytime you're in school or watching the History Channel or PBS or reading a book or talking to somebody and they contradict this book, they're wrong. Amen. And you may not have the answer at that moment, but just be human and humble and say, you know what? I don't have the answer for this at this very moment, but I've learned my lesson through the years that I'm the problem. I don't have all the information, but it's out there. And if there's something that remains unanswered, one of these days, they're either going to dig up something like this, or you'll be in the presence of the Lord and He'll give you the answer. And so this was a discovery made, reported first by British archaeology back in the motherland. And it was a site near Finstanton in southeastern England. And it was believed to be about 100 years after the crucifixion of Christ when this took place. So it puts it in the general vicinity. And it proves the crucifixion happened. So everybody who said in the past it didn't were wrong. Amen?
Amen.
And we're told that creation itself testifies of the God of the Bible. We read in Romans 1:20, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead." You look at creation, and if you're looking honestly, you see the fingerprints of God everywhere.
Amen.
And as a matter of fact, those who don't, or those who claim not to believe in God, the atheists, the skeptics, if you read their writings and listen to them, they are constantly calling it creation. They are constantly referring to the evidence of design. They're constantly using words like, "Well, we believe." You believe? Science isn't supposed to be about belief. Science, you're supposed to be able to say, "We know that because this." They don't do that. Because it's become a religion called scientism. And scientism doesn't care about facts. They come up with their own theories and they've developed their own religion. And so you need to understand that when you hear people contradicting the Bible looking at creation. But also Job, back in the book of Job, he said, "Or speak to the earth and it shall teach thee." And that's really what archaeology has become. It's become a science of digging up things and learning many times what the Bible says is true. Some of the most amazing archaeological discoveries involve things like the walls of Jericho. And some of those things are just fascinating. They found some amazing information related to the Red Sea crossing, which all the spiritually retarded people in the seminaries will teach you is the Sea of Reeds, and it's not. It's the Red Sea, and we discussed that a little bit Wednesday. But also, Jesus Himself said this in Luke 19:10, "And He answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." And it's ironic. It's just funny, because that's what's happening. The stones themselves are crying out as a witness against the so-called experts and scientists and so forth. Isn't that interesting? It's called archaeology. You ought to make it a habit. I'm telling you, you get into history and archaeology and these other studies, and if you look at the facts and don't listen to all the nonsense and theories, your faith in God's Word will be built. And as a matter of fact, there's some people who became Christians. I believe William Albright was one of them. He became a Christian because he dug to try to disprove the Bible, and he found so much evidence for the Bible, he became a Christian.
Amen.
And I think this is number three, actually. I knew a lot of people would have this on your mind because it's all over the news media and everything. Russian invasion of Ukraine. And so my thoughts about that, well, they're claiming that there's a buildup on three different fronts, that Russia's going to invade Ukraine. And there's all kinds of sources that are telling why this is going to happen and all that. Listen, folks, I'm just telling you, nobody knows what's going on. If there's one thing about Russia and Putin and that part of the world, you don't know what's going on. They don't think like us. They don't operate like us. And if there is some sort of invasion, it would be like the other 49 states taking on California. That's what it's like. The news media, in order to try to beat down the non-liberals, including Trump and a lot of them, they've made Russia this big boogeyman because they do have nuclear weapons, but they would be self-destructing if they were to use them. And not only is it like the 49 states taking on California, but it would be like there being another California join in with us, because it's all 50 states versus California. And so if there is an invasion, I just don't think it'll last long unless, the Biden administration, which is corrupt and has corrupt ties to Ukraine, Big Daddy Biden and his little boy Hunter, they're all tied up in the corruption of Ukraine. So that might play into it as well. So the only thing from a biblical standpoint is I'd encourage you to watch our two-part study along with our other studies on Gog Magog. If you go to our website right now, bbfohio.com, you just scroll down below the most recent studies and you'll see a playlist for this. That's what it looks like. Russian invasion, Gog Magog playlist. And you'll see, and you can scroll and see all the different messages. And we went through Ezekiel 38 and there's an introductory older message going back to 2008, and then you can jump down and see the one that we taught back in 2013. It's a four-parter, and then we went into some other things below that. In the meantime, we ask you to pray for the Bardwells and all the missionaries to Ukraine.
Amen.
We have missionaries in Ukraine. We have missionaries in the area where that fight could break out. And if that doesn't concern you, just put your shoes.
Yeah.
Think about what those missionaries over there might get caught in the middle of. We've got messages from them. He sent me a picture, actually. One day they were out, and the Russians fired on one of the Ukrainian guards, and it hit the gun and didn't kill anybody. But he actually sent me a picture of the gun that was hit. There's been stuff going on over there for centuries, literally. If you read the history of Russia, the whole Ukrainian, Crimean, Black Sea thing has been going on for centuries. Whether or not there's going to be an invasion right now is the big question. So we pray for them and keep them in prayer. All right, so we're in Luke 16, verses 17 and 18. If you turned there already, go ahead. We covered verse 16 last study. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. And remember that Jesus is now directing his comments toward the Pharisees who remain. He has been teaching his followers, but now he's addressing those Pharisees who hung around to start trouble. So let's read verses 17 and 18 together. And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. Whosoever putteth away his wife and marrieth another committeth adultery, and whosoever marrieth her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery. And all the newlyweds say amen. Andrew's like, why? You know, did he know I was coming? What's he, you know? But we go verse by verse, and you just have to step in at a time when I'm going to give it to you. Just kidding. Verse 17, though, says, and it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. That's a statement. Again, he's making this. It's for all of us. But he's talking and addressing, talking to the Pharisees. Why? Because the Pharisees are those who add to God's word. And I have to emphasize that, because over and over, even among Christians through the years, what I've heard is that you fundamentalists, you Bible believers, you're Pharisees. You bunch of Pharisees. Well, there are some in our amongst us that are Pharisaical. I mean, any time a man adds rules and regulations that aren't in God's Word but acts like they are God's Word, that's the problem. If you want, as a church, for example, I don't have a necktie on. I usually refer to them as a noose. And I hate neckties, and I'm glad that it's not offensive to anyone as far as I know here. But there are churches who require you have a necktie on to preach. And there's others who require, if you're going to be in the choir, if you're going to do anything like be an usher, if you're going to do anything like that, you have to wear a tie. That's fine. The problem is when they go beyond saying that's just our rule and act like it's a spiritual thing. And like, if you don't wear a tie, there's something wrong with you. Now, of course, we all know that Bible verse that talks about going to church in your Sunday best. Right?
Oh, yeah.
You quote it from memory, right?
First Taylor chapter 2.
First Taylor chapter 2. It's not in there. And so that's why we have our rule. Our rule is we want you to not stink and be modest. That's the rules. And why? Because that's the only ones I can find in the Bible. You say about stinking, well, you know, we're not supposed to be swine. That's just kind of common sense. You know, people don't want to smell you. And that includes not just the bad smells. That's your wonderful perfumes and colognes. You know, we don't want to. You put a little bit on, that's one thing. But, you know, some people like Pigpen and Charlie Brown. They leave a cloud dust, and it's their perfume and cologne following them around. People's eyes are watering, and, you know, as they walk past. So, you know, don't choke the person next to you with good or bad smell, and be modest. Amen? Well, and there's any number of other things you can throw in there where people become Pharisaical among our group. And that's a shame, but it does happen. But the Pharisees, the true Pharisees, are in pulpits all over that aren't in fundamental churches. And they are adding to God's word what isn't there, and they're taking away what they don't like. As a matter of fact, I think we could pretty well call the entire New Version movement Pharisaical. Amen. They've decided certain things they don't want the woman, you know, caught in sin. They won't want that in there. And the last 12 verses of Mark and 1 John 5:7, and then let's scratch out some things and scratch the blood out of Colossians 1:14, and let's not refer to Jesus as God in 1 Timothy 3:16. You know what I'm saying? Pharisees. They don't like it. Cut it. Then there's guys who just when they preach decide they're going to correct the Bible.
Well, a better rendering would be, a better translation. I couldn't order Greek off of a Greek menu. I couldn't order my food this afternoon if we went to a Greek restaurant off of a Greek menu. But I'm going to correct God's word using Greek.
Just think of how insane that is.
Amen.
I'm telling you, I don't care who it is. I don't care if he's a professor in a local Bible college or whatever. Take him aside and hand him a Greek Bible with no helps, and he's clueless.
Amen.
And then he's going to stand up there and tell me my Bible needs fixed by him. It's insane.
Amen.
Pharisees.
Yep.
See, Satan's always perverting things and counterfeiting things. The real Pharisee isn't the Bible believer, but that's what a lot of the world thinks. Because you believe sin is sin, you're a Pharisee. Because you believe marriage is between one man and one woman, you're a Pharisee. Because you believe that it's wrong to murder a baby and call it abortion, you're a Pharisee. And on it goes. That's not true. It's a lie of the devil. Now, it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. The law fails to save, but that's because it's not his purpose.
Amen.
It was never the purpose of the law to save. So I've heard some people say, well, the law failed because people didn't get saved. It was never meant to save. It succeeded in its purpose, in reality.
Amen.
Scripture with Scripture. Let's look over Galatians chapter 3. Turn there if you can. And if you can't, ask your neighbor to help you. Galatians 3, beginning verse 19. Galatians chapter 3, beginning verse 19. Now read this silently with me. I'm going to make some comments as we go. Wherefore then serveth the law? Now, you won't see anywhere after that where it says, to save you. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions. Till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. I mean, we're going to see it explained, but the law was brought to your attention to point out your sin so that then when the seed, being Jesus, came and died for your sins, you'd understand you need a Savior and you'd understand who the Savior is.
Amen.
That's it. Verse 20, now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily, righteousness should have been by the law. But verse 22, you can't be saved until you're lost. Amen?
Amen.
Well, look at verse 22. Read that with me. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. You have got to face your sin. You have got to face your condition that you need to be saved. And you've got to turn to Jesus Christ because he's the only Savior of the world.
Amen.
Any other religious leader, any other religion will send you to hell simply because it's not Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only man who happened to be God in flesh. another man could not die for your sins, and no kind of philosophy or thinking can cure your sin problem. It had to be God dying for your sin.
Amen.
And that's what happened. Amen. Verse 23, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Now read verse 24 with me. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Not by works, by faith. And then verse 25, but after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. That's why we're not under law. That's why we don't have the law up on the wall and have you memorize and recite it and everything. Why? It's not that the law still doesn't matter. But as a born-again child of God, see, the church is for saved people.
Amen.
If we were bringing in the lost, yeah, put that law up there and let's talk about it. Let's see how many you've broken. Let's see how many, you know, just to prove that you're a sinner in need of salvation. But this is supposed to be the church, saved people. So we're not talking about the law. We're talking about the Spirit. You're supposed to be born again. You have the Spirit of God in you. You put His Word in you. And by Word and by Spirit, you are now led by the Spirit. And you won't have to worry about memorizing the law. You know what is right and wrong. So nobody in here can tell me you shouldn't kill somebody just because you disagree with them. Anybody in here that will convince me you think it's all right to kill a baby because you're just not ready to have one right now. Or you don't like the sex of the baby. Or it might have something wrong with it. Anybody in here that can convince me you think it's all right to cheat on your husband or wife? Anybody in here that thinks any of the law, you don't have to have it repeated and memorizing it because it is now the Spirit in you. And that's what it's saying. But after that faith has come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. I hope that's true of you.
Amen.
The problem with Greg up here is I'm just one of you. I'm no better than any of you. I'm no higher than... I jokingly refer to myself as most right-wing bishop. It's a joke. And I told you, don't call me reverend. I'm not. I'm pastor of this local church, but that's not even really a title of uplifting. It's just an ID. It's so you know who the pastor is. It's just like pastor's wife, you know. It's good that you know who my wife is. And so forth. I was once a sinner that was lost. Now I'm a sinner who's saved. That's true of, if you're saved today, that's true of you and me and everybody in this room. I ain't got anything to brag about. Ain't no reason for you to think any higher of me than you do anybody else. You know who I want you to think higher about? Jesus. My word, as long as it's in line with this word, okay. My word gets out of line with this word, forget about it. And that's true of any man. And it's a wonderful truth because I don't need that pressure. I don't want that pressure. I just want us all to be one big happy family looking at Jesus.
Amen.
Who are we going to sing about? Sing about Jesus.
Amen.
What are we going to sing about? Being saved by Jesus. What are we going to sing about? Going to heaven and being with Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Paul confirms this same teaching, first rebuking those who reject God's word, which we said is the Pharisees, those who reject God's word. Look over Romans 3. Romans 3. Verses 9 through 18. Romans 3, 9 to 18. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. All under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Brother John was saying during our Sunday school Bible open Bible study in Isaiah that you go around here and try to give people tracts. What do they say? Most of the time, it seems like, I don't have the stats, but most of the times they say, I'm good.
Yeah. Yep.
And of all the responses, we all had some good ones, but I like Jenny's the best. She quotes this: "I'm good. There's none righteous. No, not one. There's none good." Amen?
Amen.
"There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God." How many of you heard people say, "Oh, I found Jesus"? He found you.
Amen.
Give the credit proper due. Yeah. He came to where you were. He convicted you. He drew you. He had already done the work to save you. You really didn't have anything to do with it. Amen. They are, verse 12, "They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good. No, not one." I think that's the specific part that Jenny quoted when someone says, "I'm good. There's none that doeth good. No, not one." And then he goes on to describe these people, and it sounds very close to what Jesus described in Matthew 23. Some of you read that when Jesus was talking about the Pharisees. "Their throat is an open sepulcher."